pray this morning that you will come afresh into our hearts and minds as we step out in worship. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Are you familiar with that warning that sometimes newsreaders give? There will be flash photography in the following report. That's given for a reason. It's given because it can upset some people. But the reason we have flash photography is that it shines a new light onto the picture that we're looking at. It enables us to see it more clearly. And I'm very conscious that this morning, as we consider stepping out into worship, that this subject is one that is very dear to everybody's heart the minute we talk about any sort of difference or change. So I hope that for you this will be a moment when the flash photography is like one of those light bulb moments, when almost unwittingly you see something completely fresh that you've never heard of or never thought of. That is possibly quite an arrogant statement for me to make before I preach to you. But I do pray that as we look at this together, we might find something different and new. Having said that, most of you will know that I was brought up on the 1662 prayer book for very many years. So I'm on your side, really. But I'd like to share one or two things that God has revealed. I once read that God had created mankind for the purpose of worshipping him. God created mankind for the purpose of worshipping him. And I remember thinking that was quite selfish of God. But on further reflection, it did actually seem to make sense. Because it's a very natural desire, particularly for new Christians, to want to worship, to want to be in God's presence, to have more of this new discovery. What is worship? For me, it's an umbrella word that covers the following things, and probably other things as well, but just briefly, being together in church to share in a service, as we are doing at this moment, praying, singing to God, listening to or reading God's word, being in and enjoying God's creation, countryside, seaside, hills, mountains, in the air, and even on the sea. Doing God's bidding in our life. For me, that means following my vocation, God's call on my life. And all of those things, and as I said, probably a few others, can be carried out no matter where we are or how we feel, especially how we feel. All of this inspires me and encourages me to worship God, and I hope it does for you as well. Last week, Lydia encouraged us to get the Holy Spirit and then get on with it. Get it and get on with it. Stepping out in the Holy Spirit. And Malcolm 2 weeks ago was stepping out in evangelism, looking at 1 Peter 4. Hospitality, loving deeply, using the gifts that God has given us, speaking God's words, serving each other, so that God may be praised through Jesus Christ, sharing the good news with all and sundry. So it's quite natural that this week we should be considering worshipping God. And in the passage that we heard read from John, Jesus is telling the woman at the well, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So the time is coming when true worshippers will not continue to worship on the mountain or in Jerusalem. They will worship anywhere, and they will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So here we have Jesus' definition of worship: worship in spirit and in truth. Today, this morning, we are worshiping, and hopefully it is in the spirit, and provided we speak Bible truths, it will also be in the truth. And the best test of finding out whether we are worshiping in this way is to consider how we feel right now while we are worshiping, and also when we leave church or have finished worshiping. If you're not in the spirit, then your thoughts are probably not very good. And we will know this, won't we? If we're being distracted away from the spirit and the truth of the Bible, we know. That's not to say that God can't plant ideas in our minds while we're worshiping, because I believe that's very true, he does. But when we start considering whether the joint's on at the right temperature or whether we've remembered to pump the tires up on the car, we're being distracted. And we need to be in the spirit. One of the privileges of preaching is to keep close to God and hear him as we prepare and speak. If we wander from what we know we should be saying, it won't feel right, and the listeners will also find it difficult to follow. So I hope you are following and finding it reasonably easy. Once, when I struggled to prepare a sermon and ended up with four words on a piece of paper, I declared from this position it was High Risk Sunday, and I relied on God to give me the words, which of course he did, just as Paul did. Paul said, "I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. God is spirit, and we must worship in spirit and truth." Hopefully, so far, you've thought about worship in ways that you recognize, and perhaps in ways that you don't. What it comprises and how we do it. So the next move is the slightly uncomfortable one of stepping out. And this means sharing and being confident in worship. And this for us can be difficult. Not because we are incompetent, because we are so conditioned to follow a set pattern. This is the Old Testament Jewish way, and to some extent the Roman Catholic way: adherence to a set form, and only a set form, sometimes devised by man, although in the Old Testament it was as a result of the Leviticus and the religious laws, some of which were interpreted by man. So what do I mean by this, stepping out? I suspect that most of us here were brought up to follow the order of service in our collective public worship, and to some extent in our personal worship. We were taught a form of praying. My parents said the same prayers over me at night when I was little, and I very often repeated them as I grew up, until I realized that it was actually okay to make my own up. So we're conditioned to follow a pattern, and that is good to start with, but actually not so good as we develop as people and as Christians. We all learnt the Lord's Prayer, very good, but it was usually accompanied by what I call asking prayers: family, health, the special needs of others, and our own needs. It very rarely praised God for all that he has done for us in creation and in our lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with those forms of prayer, but there is a different way of doing it. The first time I think I became aware of a different way was somebody gave me a mnemonic, four words where the initial letters spell a word: ACTS, A-C-T-S. And that stood for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. If that helps, and it did help me, and it broadened my vision of prayer and worship considerably. But there is so much more. Worshipping in spirit and in truth, we have to be honest when we worship. And it has to be true. And it has to be from the heart. Praise and thanksgiving, which is personal and originates from our hearts, that comes out of our own creativity, spirit and truth. Personal expressions of gratitude, anger, disappointment, sadness, exuberance, spirit and truth. This is how Jesus was encouraging us to worship. This may be a new idea for some people, to actually worship in that way. It is truly profound and mighty liberating, because it seems that we're not really supposed to do it, and we all like to do things that we're not supposed to do, but we are supposed to do this. It also has a slight ring of not being authentic. We get hung up on having to say certain words at certain times to make it proper prayer. That's an Essex expression, if ever I heard one. Proper prayer. Proper prayer is in spirit and truth. We can do it in that way. We are allowed. And it's most important, because it's at those times that we confront God, and he very often confronts us back, particularly when we're upset or angry, particularly when we don't see why this should have happened to us. The psalmist, on many occasions, has a go at God and said, "Why have you forsaken me? You've left me to it. This isn't on. I worship you. I'm in your care and keeping, and yet you seem to have abandoned me." And then if we stop our rant and listen, God will say, clear and loud, "I love you. I will be with you in this event or circumstance of which you seem to be so upset." He may even say, "That's life." This may be a new idea to you, and you may say, "Yes, Hugh, but that's all about personal prayer." Well, certainly that's true, but it's also about the way in which we do things. We may not have ever tried playing worship songs or hymns or a piece of music while we're in the home working to lift ourselves nearer to God. All of this is okay, and it's an additive. It makes life better, and it makes our relationship with God so much better. And I would urge you to give it a try. I know too that for some, worship can be doing an activity well, gardening, the housework, something creative in art, creative writing, poetry. But God needs to hear our innermost feelings just as they are. We do need to be truthful and tell him how it is. and then listen. Worshipping at New Wine with 5,000 or 6,000 people, 5,000 or 6,000 other people, led by someone who sensed the Spirit's presence, was really difficult for me the first time I experienced it, partly because I didn't know what was going to happen, and partly because it seemed strange to be as public as this about worship. Now, that idea might horrify some of you, and I knew the first time I experienced it that it was not going to be easy. But like many things, with a bit of perseverance and letting go of our inhibitions, you very quickly discover something that you'd never experienced before, and something that was very precious, something that brought me much closer to God, in spite of the fact that there were 5,999 other people shouting in my ear. It didn't matter, because what was overwhelming was the sense of God's presence and my nearness to him and his to me. And that is the whole point. Worship is about being with God, just as we are. It's about being with God in spirit and truth. And it is always good, in whatever form it takes, wherever it is, with or without others, in sadness and in joy, in the everyday. Worshipping in spirit and truth is Jesus' way and the best way. Amen. Let us just have a moment of quiet and think about what we've heard and what we think of it. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus' way. And we ask that you would help us to step out and try new things. Help us to value that which we're used to, and help us to discover that which is new. And we ask that you would always make us worship in spirit and truth, and be pleased to do so. Amen.